Who do you say that I am? When Jesus puts the question to the disciples, that Peter is the first to open his mouth is no surprise. But what is surprising, that on the surface, Peter's answer is spot on. You are the Messiah, Son of the Living God. Even Jesus sounds surprised, saying, "Blessed are you, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Beyond getting Jesus' title right, the real and ongoing challenge is understanding what the messiahship of Jesus means. And for an entry point to that deeper discussion, the gospel writer Matthew has supplied us not with one key, but with a whole set. First, in verse 18, Jesus tells Simon that the son of Jonah is now called to embrace his identity as Peter, as Petros, as in Greek, for rock. Peter, the first stone laid for the purpose of creating a new kind of space. An open space dedicated to abundant hospitality, an ample space where new wings of the Spirit can be spread, a forgiving space with room to turn and turn and turn until you do come down right in the loving arms of Jesus, a gathering space, a church that will resist every effort to be hemmed in and will persist against most aggressive and insidious assaults. For not even the gates of Hades, also known as death, will prevail against it. So Jesus gives Peter a set of keys. Keys, what could be simpler? But here's the thing. Keys are very rare in the Bible. In the Hebrew Bible, the one and only set of keys appears in Isaiah 22:20. The keys to the house of David, which are getting taken away from a corrupt steward and given to a hopefully better one. That's it. And in all of the four Gospels, the only keys mentioned are the ones being handed to Peter here in the 19th verse. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Note, not the keys to, but the keys of heaven. Keys with power to bind and loosen, to contain and liberate. On earth, in heaven, same difference. So, a not so quick sidebar on keys, because it's not very often in scripture we get an opportunity to riff on keys. So here goes. The oldest surviving keys known are 6,000 years old from Babylonia and Egypt, and they are made from wood. One particularly fun example of such a key is the wooden key to an Assyrian palace in Nineveh, circa 700s before the Common Era, a palace that perhaps a certain reluctant prophet of the same era named Jonah wanted desperately to avoid. Later, the ancient Romans forged locks and keys from iron and bronze. Much later, Linus Yale Sr., born in Salisbury, New York in 1821, invents tumbler locks that use flat keys, which are much more convenient to attach to one's keychain. In 1955, the Associated Locksmiths of America was founded with Lee Rognan as its executive director. That is Mrs. Lee Brockman. Pronouns she, her, hers. And at the 1956 biennial convention of the Associated Locksmiths of America, before a crowd of 1,200, Flora E. Gebhardt won the women's lock picking competition by opening a standard door lock in 1 minute and 41 seconds. No key required. Now fast forward to the end of August 2020. Keys are ubiquitous features of our lives. We have keys for front doors and back doors, keys for sheds and basements, keys for offices and lockers, for cars and bikes. Many of our keys today would be unrecognizable as such to Linus Yale Sr., for they are key cards, swiped at the entrances of the places we work, go to school, and even worship. Not to mention all the keys that we carry in our heads or on our computers, the digital keys, usernames, passwords, and PINs that open bank accounts, emails, health services, libraries, virtual classrooms, and all those shopping websites where we buy clothing, groceries, and just about anything else you can name. Websites for the movies we rent for our screens and for the reading material of our real or virtual bookshelves. That Matthew can tell the story of Jesus with only one mention of keys might seem strange when we consider how impossible it would be to tell the stories of our lives without multiple keys of one kind or another. And on top of it all, now is prime key season. On October 31st, I do this all the time, on August 31st, leases will end. There will be keys surrendered. And on September 1st, new leases begin and people move in and begin collecting a whole new assortment of keys. In any previous fall key season, the locals in the Boston area avoided driving on the roads because August 31st to September 1st, the cusp is when thousands of students begin moving into dorms and apartments. This year, because of COVID-19, the streets will undoubtedly be less choked by U-Hauls, with fewer new keys added to the key rings. At the same time, because of COVID-19, there will be keys and key cards that stop working because of job losses, business closures, all the unwelcome moves in and out of an economy that is the worst since the Great Depression. Keys. How is it possible that the good news of Jesus is virtually keyless, with the exception of this one passage? Well, time for another quick sidebar, this time to Easter. And Jonathan, I'm going to ask you to share the first of two slides. Well, I'll give you a heads up while Jonathan is working on this.
Sorry, I don't know what's going on here.
Pardon?
I don't know what's going on. Give me one moment.
Okay. Well, while you take that moment, the slide that we're about to see will be familiar to those who zoomed in with us on Easter. You'll recognize the theme, the motif. There we go. Okay. Shoot. I've lost you. All right. Now both preacher and slide are in sync. Okay. This is resurrection. And if you could see the very top of this slide, which seems to be blocked. Oh, there it is. Hooray. Hooray. You will see that the title is written right there in Greek letters, all caps, Anastasis. That is uprising, the uprising of Jesus from the realm of the dead. That is from Hades. Hades, both the name of the place and the name of the ruler. This one is from the Cathedral of Mary's Assumption on the island of Torcello in the Venetian Lagoon, circa 1050 of the Common Era. And Jesus is multitasking. Jonathan, if you could slide it a bit so now we can see the bottom of it a little better. There you go. Jesus is multitasking. He is in Hades, crushing Hades underfoot. And at the same time, he is taking in hand, one by one, all the souls that death has been holding captive. All the souls, no exceptions, beginning with Adam, who is the one that Jesus has by the hand there on the left side of the screen. And behind Adam is Eve, and way further back, wearing crowns, are kings David and Solomon, waiting their turns, even though they're kings, with everybody else. All right, now we don't even need to move to the second slide, because this Zoom has helped us see exactly what I wanted us to see. And that is that puny fellow at the very bottom of the screen, the nearly naked guy, that's Hades, big shot ruler of the dead. In some versions of this scene, Hades is often pictured with his ankles and wrists bound with either rope or chain, but in light of the enormity of Jesus' power, why bother? What gave Hades the authority and the means to hold the children of God captive have been obliterated. The gates are blown apart. You can see them there in two pieces. And the works of death's locks, that is the inner workings of them, have been irreparably sprung. So when locks are rendered useless, who needs keys? Who needs them? All right, close the slide, please. So actually, who needs keys? Well, Peter, maybe. He was, after all, a pretty concrete thinker. And in the very next chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th, Jesus will be talking about what's ahead for him, his arrest, torture, execution, and resurrection. But Peter will stop listening at execution and tell Jesus that this execution must never happen. So, by the 18th chapter of our same gospel, Jesus will make it clear that this power to bind and loose is dependent on only one thing, on the God who is with us. The God made manifest in the dying and uprising of the crucified Messiah. Matthew 18, verses 18 to 20. Truly, I tell you, as in you, my disciples, all y'all, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth, it will be done by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. Wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I am there among you. There and here. Here, what Jesus is calling Peter to be is the same calling Jesus extends to all of us. You and I, called to be breakers of new ground, builders of new space, creators of new tables, of abundant hospitalities, and the raiser of tents under heaven that can truly be called home on earth. You and I already have all the keys necessary to open even the most forbidding doors and barriers because, says Jesus, because promises Jesus. You have me, the Messiah who cannot abide death and whose heaven on earth home will never have any room for Hades or hate or any of their discounting, disrespecting, dismissing, belittling minions. In the body of the Hades kicking, gate crashing Christ, each of us brings our own unique mix of the Spirit's power the purposes of coming together so that we can do that work that Paul talks about in Romans 12, the work of being not conformed, but transformed by the Spirit's power to renew in Christ. This morning, we will commit to being that power, that gate-crashing power for Angelica and Christian. Angelica, for her, this is really an overdue homecoming, and we have been slow in celebrating her mix of gifts, which she has liberally already shared in many Zoom worship services, preaching and powerfully leading us in prayer. For Christian, this is his first Sunday at UniLu, and he trusts us and the Spirit enough to join us today. And getting to experience Christian's Spirit mix, even as he pursues a PhD and preaches and teaches at other churches, will be our new mutual ongoing joy. In a very real and powerful sense, we are what we sing. We are called to be for one another the wideness of God's mercy whenever, wherever needed. And so let's do that now. Let's sing the wideness of God's mercy. The name, the number of that hymn is 587. Thank you.